When you can't even see that he's working. You got to know that. Just because God doesn't answer your prayer right when you pray doesn't mean he's not going to answer your prayer. Sometimes he says no. Other times he says not now. And the other times he says yes. He's always moving. He's always answering prayer. He just don't answer it always the way we want him to. Amen. This time we're going to dismiss our children to children's church, all of our children age 5 to 12. It's good to have Brother Jess Slider back. I'm going to tell you, we missed you, Brother Jess. God spared his life. A tree fell and almost took him out. Broke his leg. But he's here today. Thank God for that. We love Brother Jess, Sister Olivia. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 12. And verse number 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I'm taking my text from that 15th verse of Scripture. Read it. Let's read it again. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, therefore many be defiled. Father, we thank you for the Holy Ghost that we feel in the sanctuary this morning. We know that you're here to help us. We're hungry and thirsty for a move of the Spirit of God in our hearts and our lives. I'm asking you that you would anoint our ears to hear. Let our hearts be receptive to receive the engrafted Word of God, which is able to save our souls. I pray you'd anoint these lips of clay with a holy anointing that makes preaching effective. I pray that you would help us, Lord. Change us and transform us by the power of your word and your spirit. We ask you in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning on a beast called bitterness. A beast called bitterness. The enemy of our soul is always looking for another way to destroy you. He may not be able to pull you into the world and get you to do a lot of things that the world does as a Christian. So what does he do? He looks for another avenue, another method, another weapon, and he pulls it out of his arsenal. Why? Because he hates everything about our God, and he hates everything about God's creation. He wants to destroy every one of us. We have to understand that. He's going to look for a crack in your armor. You say, well, Brother Matt, I am prayed up, I'm read up, and I'm ready to go. Praise God for that. But you had still better do what Peter tells us to do in Peter 5 and 8. He said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. He's always prowling around. He's trying to take one of your children out, you and your spouse. He's trying to dismantle the church. Come on, church. But I'm telling you that if we will be on guard, we'll stay in the Word and stay at the altar, there is no weapon formed against us that can or ever will prosper, but we must not be ignorant to his devices. This morning, I believe I have a special mandate from God to warn everyone in this house and everyone watching by Facebook that there is a beast out there called bitterness that wants to get on the inside of you, and if you allow it to, it'll eat at you like cancer. It'll end up destroying you, a beast called bitterness. Oh, yes, it is a very destructive little beast. Bitterness. I read one definition. It's defined as exhibiting intense animosity, marked by cynicism, holding on to hurt, angry or bitter. Have you ever been bitter at someone? Don't raise your hand. Don't make any confessions this morning. We've all been there where bitterness could easily get a hold of us. Maybe you're there this morning. Maybe something has happened in your life that is so bad, something so painful, you just can't get over it, and it's affecting you. Well, the Holy Ghost is going to help you if you'll let Him this morning. Maybe you've done something to somebody else. Maybe it was on purpose. Maybe it was something that was a miscommunication. Maybe it was accidental. I'm going to tell you that bitterness will get a hold of you and it'll eat away and it will poison you. It's like poison being directly put into the bloodstream. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, we're pilgrims passing through. We must not allow anything to hold us back. We must not allow the enemy to get on the inside of our lives. We must be sober and vigilant and recognize the tactics and the tricks of the adversary. Can I get a witness in this house? I've come in contact with so many bitter people. Bitter. Whenever they've been hurt in life. And you can see it. It just oozes out of them. That's what it happens whenever someone's bitter. You can see it in their disposition oftentimes. You can hear it in their conversation. They're constantly bringing up what happened a long time ago. They can't get over it. They want someone to talk about it with. Why? Because they're bitter and they're holding on to something. They're trying to punish somebody else by not forgiving them. Listen, it doesn't punish that person. It punishes you. It's often by times been said that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for someone else to die. You think about it. Bitterness will destroy you. These people who are bitter because of something that's happened in their past, they are miserable creatures. They're always cynical. They're always critical. They're always talking about things. Oh, listen to me. I'm telling you, we got to get victory today. It's not worth holding on. We've got to let some things go and let God the Holy Ghost heal us. Listen, we are soldiers of the cross today. And a soldier, when you're on the battlefield, there's a lot of things that come your way. The cold, the heat, there are elements. You may get snake bit. You may be attacked by chiggers. Anybody ever been attacked by chiggers before? Them are some terrible little beasts. But we are soldiers of the cross, and we can't afford to get our feelings hurt and get cast out of the kingdom. Come on. Oh, listen, when you get your feelings hurt, you need to rise up. You need to pray through. You need to go to that person, whatever you got to do. I'm talking about survival today. If it's past hurt, present hurt, or if it's coming your way tomorrow, you've got to be ready, because a beast named bitterness wants to get a hold of you and wants to cause you to be miserable. I read a story. I'm sure it's not a true story, but it was a story about a man who was bitten by a rabid dog. In this story, they say that it was before rabies, the cure for rabies, came out. And the doctor came to him, and he knew that he was infected with this terrible disease. He comes to this man, and he says, "Listen, it's too late for you. It's already, rabies is already taking over your body. You're going to die soon." And he said, "Sir, get your affairs in order." So this man asked for a piece of paper and a pen, and he begins to write feverishly. And the doctor leaves the room, letting him alone with his will that he believes he's writing out. He came back 30 minutes later, the doctor did, and he said, "Are you writing out your will, sir?" And he said, "No." He said, "Well, what are you writing?" He said, "I'm writing out, I'm making a list of everyone I'm going to bite before I die." That may be a funny story, but I'm going to tell you, that's how bitterness gets a hold of someone's life. I'm telling you, they're miserable and they want everyone else to be miserable too. Amen. Oh, listen, then whenever someone leaves their spouse, you ever seen this? Or maybe they're miserable in their life, they're bitter. You've seen the murder suicides. They'll kill their partner or kill their child, then kill themselves. Listen, that's a bitter person. I'm telling you, it is a detrimental disease. It's a spiritual disease. It's a cancerous disease. You can't ever allow it to take root in the heart because it will consume you and it will grow, and before long, it will take over everything in your life. We must be on guard. There's a beast called bitterness out there. Listen, one of my challenges as a pastor is getting people to stop nursing their grudges. They're nursing them constantly. They're talking about them. They're bringing them up. They're showing you their wounds. They're showing you all their pain. I tell you, whenever you really want to get victory over something, I'm going to go through it today, but you got to stop talking about it. You got to let that thing go. You got to leave it at an old-fashioned altar. Come on, church. Just like with any temptation, any lust, we've got to arrest that thought, cast it down, and take away. God has given us the power to do that. In the temptations and all the lust of the flesh, we can also do it when it comes to pain that comes our way. We got to arrest that thought. Yeah, they did me wrong, but I'm going to pray for them. It was David Wilkerson that said, if you want to become like Jesus, the fastest way to be conformed to the image of Christ is to edify those who mortify you. Those that have done you wrong, pray for them. Don't pray God will kill them. Pray God will bless them. Pray that God will open up the windows of heaven over their lives and pour out blessings they can't contain. A lot of times we say, well, Lord, you know they did me wrong. Will you please judge them? I know you're a just God. Will you judge them? Because I know what the Bible says, Lord. Vengeance is mine. It's yours, Lord. No, listen, God knows that heart. If you don't pray the right prayer, we got to pray through, God, forgive me for my own wicked heart. God, help me to love them people. Is it justifiable to hate somebody who's done you wrong? Absolutely not. Jesus loved those who hated him. Jesus died for the sinner when we were the most ungodly, when we trampled under the blood of his blood and accounted it an unholy thing. Christ still loved us. Think about it today. Do you want to become like Jesus? Do you want to love the way he loves? Do you want to walk the way he walked? Do you want to act the way he acted? The very first thing we got to do is begin to pray for those who have wounded us. It might have been your best friend. They talked about you. They betrayed you. Pray for them. Forget about the pain and start looking at that life. Have you been divorced? Did you have a spouse cheat on you and leave you? You got to pray for them. You got to love them. Come on, church. I'm telling you, it may be a boss that's fired you and ruined your financial career. Well, I'm going to tell you, God expects you to pray and to love that man or that woman anyways. Be aware of the beast called bitterness. If you don't overcome this beast called bitterness, this beast will overcome you. Bitterness is a cruel cancer that will devour you from the inside out. Here in our text, in our passage in verse 15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The writer of Hebrews says that it is a root of bitterness. Where is a root? A root is something that's underground. A root is something that is unseen, unnoticed. It's undetected. Beware of those undetected little areas of your heart. Listen, the thing about bitterness, you can't see it. It gets down into that heart. The pain gets deep. Listen, when your soul is wounded, it is real. Pain is real. Listen, I know that people have done you wrong. I know that there's hurt there. I know there's misunderstandings there. But you got to be aware of that root. Just because they did you wrong don't give you the right to hold on to it. You say, well, Brother Matt, they did me wrong. That's okay. You did Jesus wrong and so did I. But yet he loved us and he forgave us. Beware of the root that's undetected, that's underground, because that root begins to grow and it begins to move across the area of your life until it consumes your life. The root is underground, undetected, unnoticed. Nevertheless, it's there, that root, and it's very lethal. The root of bitterness requires very little soil, needs very little cultivation, and is very swift to grow, but very tough to remove. Anybody in this house ever planted a garden and you have to weed that garden? I still remember in those hot Mississippi days whenever Mom told me and my brother, you know, she didn't treat us bad. She just made us work. She says, "You boys get out there and weed that garden." Man, I want to tell you something. Weeding that garden with them cucumbers and them melons and all that corn out there, you had to dig around that thing. But listen, some roots are underground. You can't see them. Most of them are. And some will surface every once in a while. But the Bible says here, beware of this root. The root of bitterness is very dangerous. That's why the Bible says, because it's unnoticed and it can do such danger and it's so lethal. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Whenever you have been hurt, whenever you're angry, if you let the sun go down on your wrath, you are disobeying the law of God. That's one of my first and most important counsels of new people getting married or even people that's been married over a period of time. Don't you dare go to bed angry. Now listen, even if you have to sit up a little while and wait for your spouse to apologize first, don't go to bed and don't let them go to bed. Listen, I've learned that if I'll just say I'm sorry right now, we can go ahead and get this thing over with and we can make it right. It feels good to apologize. You know, eating crow, you can do all kinds with it. You can boil it, you can grill it, you can put some barbecue sauce on it. Whatever you got to do, just do it and make it right. But don't you let the sun go down on your wrath. What does that mean? That means don't you go to bed angry with anybody. Well, you say, well, Brother Matt, that's impossible to do. No, it is not impossible. The Bible says in the book of James, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. What do I do, preacher? Call them up. Make it right. Make peace with God and make peace with your brother, your sister, your relative, your spouse, whatever you got to do. There is a spiritual thing that happens when you go to bed angry. Me and my wife have been married for 23 years. And only one time, now I don't know, you have to ask her if she's ever going to bed angry with me. But only one time can I ever remember going to bed angry with my wife. One time. We've been married for about 5 years and we knew better. But I was waiting on her to say she was sorry. She was waiting on me, and I was laying on my side of the bed. I was on my side facing the wall, and we both went to sleep accidentally. I woke up the next morning, and that beautiful little thing, that night she was real pretty, but that next morning I got up, and there's something about her that didn't look very good. I was not mad. I was angry. And right then, the Spirit of God says that's what happens whenever people go to bed with anger and hurt in their heart. There's a root of bitterness that goes deeper and deeper and deeper. I'm warning everyone in this house today, you better make it right. You better save yourself. You're not just punishing that person that you refuse to forgive. You're not just holding that love and affection to that person, teaching them a lesson. No, you are doing yourself damage, and that root of bitterness will spring up and begin to grow. People do it all the time. They go to bed angry, and they give this beast called bitterness an advantage in their life. You see, the word bitterness comes from an old root word meaning to bite. Bitterness is like being bitten by the old serpent, the devil. Once the serpent bites, it releases its venom and poison into your heart and life. That's what happens when someone's bitter. It's like being bit by the serpent. They're poisoned. And then, if you'll remember in Acts 8:23, Paul says, "For I perceive," or Peter says to Simon, "I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." The word gall means poison. Are you seeing the picture here? Bitterness means to bite, like being bitten by the serpent. They inject the poison into your life. Gall, here, Peter looked at Simon and he said, "I perceive, I'm getting this." He was around Simon enough that he could hear his speech and he could watch his actions and he could see that he had been poisoned by bitterness. Don't let it poison you. Get it right. I don't care what they did to your family. I don't care what they did to you. I don't care how you were used and abused and misused. Just get it right. Listen, it's not worth that thing getting inside of you and becoming a cancer in your life. Listen, I sat back and watched as God would allow trials to come. And instead of the fiery trial refining someone, because that's what God does through the fiery trial. Everything in our life is, in a Christian's life, every good thing and bad thing is ultimately to conform us to the image of Christ. If you'll remember in the book of Peter, he says that the trial he fires that are to try you, being more much more precious than of gold that perisheth. What does the fire do whenever it's put to gold? It purifies it. You know, through the trials that God allows in our life, he's trying to purify you. So you mean to tell me, Brother Matt, whenever I was going through that great painful situation, I was rejected, I was done wrong, I was hurt, I've been dealt a bad deck of cards in life, and everybody else has it so good. Are you mean to tell me that God's trying to purify me? Absolutely. God's trying to change you through that situation. Do you hear me? Listen, remember, I give the illustration a couple weeks ago about Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, but it was all part of God's plan. God wants us to go through it, to change, to allow all the poisons to be extracted out of our heart. Listen, trials are to make you better. You can either get better through the trial or you can get bitter through the trial. Do you hear me? Trials will either make you better or they will make you bitter, but that's your choice. You have a choice to say, oh God, I remember when I went through a painful time. I didn't take my eyes off you, and you never left me, nor did you ever forsake me. And I now know that God can get me through anything because of that painful trial. Well, the other person, if they didn't handle it right, if they took a different route, they could say, God left me a long time ago. I remember whenever he allowed that pain to come my way. Why did God allow that to happen to me? What am I trying to say? You can either get better or you can get bitter. It's all up to you. Life is only 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you deal with it. Life is 10% of what happens to you, 90% of how you deal with it. You can sull up. You can get mad. You can blame. Everybody loves to play the blame game. Everybody loves to blame somebody else. Listen, what I need to do is say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to speak to me? Because God's always talking to you. God's always trying to show you something. Listen, I have learned throughout my short time on this planet, when I go through a trial that I don't understand, I know God's trying to talk to me. I know he's trying to teach me something. So here's what I do. When I'm going through a trial, I don't blame God. I don't accuse God of child neglect. Here's what I do. Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this? Lord, what are you trying to show me? And if you have a heart to learn and you want to be purified and consecrated to God, God will begin to show you. He may not show you right then. Sometimes it takes a little time for him to show you why you're going through what you're going through. That's a walk of faith. You say, well, if I don't know, how am I supposed to? It's a walk of faith. I walk by faith and not by sight. And I'm just going to wait on the Lord because I know God loves me. God loves you. He has not forsaken you. God does not hate you. God loves you, and he has a plan for your life. But you got to understand, he's going to allow the trials to come your way. And what are you going to do with them trials, ladies and gentlemen? You're either going to get better or you're going to get bitter. Your faith is either going to grow and you're going to learn to trust God through any circumstance that comes your way, or you're going to turn your back on God and say, he has forsaken me. Don't you dare turn your back on God. We're almost home, church. We are almost finished with this journey. Your journey could end today. Wouldn't it be a horrific tragedy to give up one day short of your meeting with Almighty God? God's up to something. He will allow painful things to come your way to preserve your future. If you knew God was allowing painful situations to come your way to preserve your future, that this trial you were going through was nothing compared to what he was going to do for you, wouldn't you be able to handle the trial a little bit better? Well, I can tell you on the authority of God's word, that's exactly what he's doing. God's allowing it. Not everything wicked that happens to you is from God. We understand God cannot be tempted with evil, James says. But I can tell you this, the devil can't do anything to you without God's permission. And God allows things to happen. He wants to show me. Listen, God's allowed things to happen to me in my life to show me what was in my wicked heart. Brother Matt, is your heart wicked? All of our hearts are wicked. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitfully, desperately wicked. No man can know it. We got to figure this thing out. We got to ask God to help us. Listen, many examples I could give, but whenever you get bitter, not just when someone does you wrong, but maybe someone is blessed financially. I mean, everything they touch turns to gold. You ever met them kind of people? It's hard, isn't it? I mean, to tell you, everything they touch, it works out. I mean, God blesses it. But everything that you touch, and you're wondering why. God, why is it that they get this? This is happening for them. Their finances are blessed. Their ministry's blessed. Their family's blessed. All these things. And listen to me. If you're not careful, you'll start pulling back from that person that's being blessed. You'll start pulling back from them because you don't understand why they're being blessed and you're not. Listen to me. I'll tell you what I have done many years ago. I don't get mad at somebody that's being blessed. I want to go rub up close to their shoulders and find out what they're doing, and I'm going to do some of it too. Listen to me today. Don't allow bitterness because somebody else is blessed financially in whatever area of their life. You fill in the blank in any area you want to. I can tell you this. Don't allow bitterness on that person to get a hold of you and for you to begin to push that person away because you're struggling. I see it all the time. It's a wicked, wicked sin. It's a cancer. It will begin to blind you. Don't be blinded by this sin. Oh, why are you mad at that brother? Why are you mad at that sister? What for? I just don't like to be around them. Why don't you do some really, really detailed spiritual analysis and inventory of your life? Why don't you ask questions? Why don't you like that person? Why is it that you're having a problem with them? Is it really that bad? Come on, church. God's trying to do some surgery on our lives today. A beast called bitterness may have a hold of you. For the most part, we get bitter for essentially one of three reasons. Number one, because of what someone said about us. Number two, because of what someone has done to us. Number three, because of what someone has taken from us. Number one, but all three of these are in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. In regard to what someone has said about us, has anybody ever said something bad about you that was not fair? That was wrong? That was a lie? Has anyone ever tried to slander your name and you found out about it? Raise your hand if anybody's ever tried to slander you. It was wrong. Here's what Jesus says when someone tries to slander you. Matthew 5:11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Has anyone ever said these things that are not true? Rejoice. What about the second one? We get bitter with regard to what is done to us. Jesus addresses this too in Matthew 5:38. You have heard that has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. What Christ is saying to you is this. When someone does you wrong, don't do it wrong back to them. Give them your other cheek. Pray for them. What about the third thing? What if something is taken from us? In verse 40 of Matthew 5, and if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, give him thy cloak also. Come on, church. Somebody should have just shouted right there. If somebody's going to sue you, Man, it'd be hard for me not to get bitter when someone's trying to take food off my family's table. Right? They're trying to take everything you work for. Jesus said if they try that, to give them a little bit more than what they asked for. I'm going to tell you something. That's a high spiritual level here. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you today, we've got to recognize what's going on. We got to recognize how bitterness works. When someone does you wrong, and they will sooner or later, you have one of two choices. You can get bitter or you can get better. There's a story in the book of Samuel. Ahithophel, this was David's counselor. You remember, he loved David. Ahithophel is, I think, the way it's pronounced. You remember that his son was Bathsheba's daddy. So Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba. This man loved David. David's counsel loved him. And we know that everything that this man spoke, David listened to and others listened to. And you can imagine whenever Uriah the Hittite was killed in battle and he was there with his granddaughter and he had his arm around Bathsheba. Can you picture this? He's trying to comfort Bathsheba and he's saying, you know, your husband died, a very valiant man in war fighting for Israel. He's there with his arm around Bathsheba and they're crying together, hurting. And then later on the news came out that it was because David put him on the front line. The news of the murder, the news of the affair, the news of his granddaughter being with child from David. The man that Ahithophel loved and counseled and was there for. Listen to me, this man got bitterness in his heart. A beast called bitterness grabbed a hold of him, latched hold of him, and something changed in his life. Bitterness will change you. Bitterness will change the way you think. You won't be able to think clearly. This man, if you'll remember, he once loved David, but now he hates him. We read whenever Absalom, David's son, rebelled against him, Ahithophel saw his chance to get even. Out of hatred for David, he gave Absalom two words of counsel. Number one, he gave him counsel to disgrace the king. The second piece of counsel was designed to destroy the king. The very man, David, that he had helped for so many years, now he hates. The very man that he loved, that he once ate with, and was, listen, bitterness will get a hold of you and will cause the ones of your own household. I've seen it. You'll be so bitter against them, you won't even want to be around them. I've seen it whenever a mom and dad dies and the kids are fighting over the inheritance. Listen to me today. Mom and dad, I want to give you some counsel. Get it right before you die. Get everything exactly the way you want it. But listen, it ain't worth a relationship. It ain't worth anyone that's left, it's not worth the beast of bitterness to get a hold of you and to change everything about you. It'll end up sending your soul to hell. We've got to forgive. We've got to love. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins were scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Reasoning together. Because Absalom did not kill David, because the plan of Ahithophel didn't work, he was so upset that when his counsel was rejected, he went to his house and committed suicide. Read the story in 2 Samuel 17 and 23. How could this get a hold of a man and change a man that was a man of God, that loved David, that loved Israel? How could he change so much? Ending up wanting to kill David, and then because his plan didn't work, he commits suicide himself. I'll tell you exactly how this can happen. It can change a man, a good woman that you'd never think that that would happen to, because when the beast called bitterness gets a hold of you, it'll cause you to do things you never dreamed that you would do. Listen, we need to forgive quickly. Listen, when you forgive, you are more like God whenever you love people who have hated you, and when you forgive the transgressions against you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Aren't you glad for forgiveness today? Aren't you glad that God sent his son, shed his blood on Calvary's cross, forgave us? You're never more like God than when you forgive and when you love people who have done you wrong. But on the flip side, the scripture is clear. If you refuse to forgive those who have done you wrong, you will not be forgiven. Can someone come to the piano? What a sad story. The ending of this counselor's life because of a beast called bitterness. It's been said that if a rattlesnake is cornered, it will sometimes become so angry it will bite itself. That's bitterness. Are you with me today? When a rattlesnake is cornered, it becomes so angry, if it can't get you, it'll get itself. That's what bitterness is. That's what bitterness does. I cannot control what happens to me, but I can control what happens in me. I cannot control what happens to me. You cannot control what happens to you, but you can control what happens in you. Hebrews 12:15. Again, our text says, "Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you." As you allow the root of bitterness to grow, it will take more and more of the soil of your heart. Years ago, there was a book written by what they say is a very brilliant doctor, Dr. Macmillan. The name of the book was None of These Diseases. He talked about bitterness and unforgiveness, and he talked about the medical scientific link between bitterness, high blood pressure, cancer, ulcers, susceptible to a variety of diseases, all linked to somebody who won't let go. It's been done wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, not only will it destroy your physical health, it will destroy your spiritual health. Can we stand? Concerning bitterness, this doctor says, the moment you begin to hate a man or a woman, you become a slave automatically. You're a slave. What about your spouse, your ex, husband or wife? What about that person? What about this person? What about that pastor who really hurt our family? The moment you begin to hate, you become a slave. And you begin to deteriorate from the inside out. It's not worth it. I see people that have been offended. They've been hurt. And sometimes it's a misconceived, a misconstrued situation. Sometimes it's legitimate. It really doesn't matter who was right and who was wrong. And when it comes to you making it right when it comes to you letting it go. Brother Matt, I did nothing wrong. I was the victim here. That's okay. Let it go. Beware of a beast called bitterness. It's damaging. It's destructive. Satan uses bitterness whenever nothing else will work on the child of God. He might not be able to get you to go out there and go to that square, that demon, where the demons, the devil worshipers were yesterday, the day before. He might not be able to get you to do that unless you go out there and witness to him, you know. He ain't going to get you to do something crazy. He always starts with, when it comes to a child of God, it's always through pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, lethargy. All those little things, those little roots that are underneath the surface that are right beneath the ground that you cannot see. You have a list a mile long. Well, I don't do this anymore. I don't do that. Well, praise God. Thank God. Christians are to be separated. We are to come out from the world. We are to touch not the unclean thing. Amen? But those things will not save us. We do that because we are saved. We come out from the world. Listen, a saving relationship with Jesus Christ is me walking intimately with Him every single day to be conformed to His image. What is the conformity to the image of Christ? It's to love the unlovable. It's to forgive those who do not deserve forgiveness. I didn't say it was easy. It's not easy, and it's not even possible in the natural, but it's possible when God begins to strengthen you. So very quickly, Brother Matt, I'm going to ask the question for you. How do I rip up and root out the root of bitterness? I'm going to go back to the verse previous in verse 14 to our text. He says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. How do you get rid of the root of bitterness? You pursue peace with that individual. The word pursue means to follow. It means to go after in an aggressive fashion. We are to actively pursue that person, even if they don't want you. I didn't say be in a place where you constantly take a whooping. Amen? God don't want you to get abused, like whooped up on or anything like that. There's a time that there'll be a separation in your life. God will separate you from people in your life. But when it comes to misunderstandings and hurt between family, friends, co-workers, we're not to just write them off. As a man or woman of God in a mature place, you are to pursue them. Pursue them. That's what he says. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace. That means pursue peace. Are you associated with someone who's bitter against you? They feel that they are victims. They feel that you've done them wrong. They feel like you've done them dirty. As a result, they feel as if you owe them something and somebody needs to apologize. Why don't that be you? It is not demasculating to apologize and to humble yourself, men. Well, I'm not going to show weakness. No, you just showed it. I'm not going to show weakness. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. I'm not going to admit. You just showed your weakness. I have talked to too many hurting kids. Let me tell you, those kids range from anywhere from 18 to 80. Kids, because everybody has a mom and dad. I talked to too many hurting kids that said, my daddy never said he was wrong. My mama never apologized to me. They never admitted wrong. They were wrong. Listen, your kids know when you're wrong. They know. They're smart. They know. You might as well humble yourself and not allow the enemy of our soul to give them an opportunity to be bitter against you. They know when you're wrong. Just humble yourself. Make it right. Pursue your children's hearts. Pursue your children's hearts. What about somebody that you know in another state that won't talk to you? And it hurts you that they falsely accused you and that they're pulling back from you for no reason. Pursue them with love. What about, that won't be applicable. I better move on to the next one. Pursue. Pursue peace with all men. We are to be the imitators Christ. We are to take the initiative to end the war, pull down the defenses, rebuild the bridges, and restore the relationship. We need to promote a life of forgetfulness. I'm going to say this and we're going to close. Whatever caused the problem and brought bitterness into your life must be forgotten. I said this the other night also, that we need to get our forgetter. We need sanctified forgetfulness. Some people have too good of a memory. Praise the Lord, I have pretty good short-term memory, but long-term memory, I have a real small hard drive. Real small. And when information comes in here, I got a lot of information from every angle coming at me, old information goes out. Very few things, it's the grace of God that helps me to forgive people and just, forget that, ain't nothing. They probably didn't mean anything by it. They were hurting, they were having a hard time. They didn't mean anything by that. It sounds like I'm taking up for my enemies. I've been accused of taking up for my enemies. And I've also been accused of having a bad spirit towards my enemies. You can either get bitter or you can get better. It's your choice. You got to bury the issue with your brother or sister in an unmarked grave. Forget it and move on. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Here it is right here. I'm dealing with bitterness this morning, a beast called bitterness. And I'm talking about the detriment of allowing that poison to be injected into your heart. It's terrible. It's terrible. It will make you miserable on this earth. It will cause you to have to wander in a wilderness for 40 long years, just like the children of Israel did. Most of the time, God's trying to teach you something. If you don't pass the test through the trial of pain, you will keep going through that trial till you learn the lesson. I don't like to repeat trials. I repeated the first grade twice. I didn't like it. It was embarrassing going through the same grade over and over again. Different teacher. The second graders were waving at me. That's tough. Listen, if you don't pass this test of why God's allowing this trial, you're going to face it again and again and again and again, and your grandchildren are going to be against you. Your kids are going to be against you. Everybody's going to dislike you. Listen, I understand that what I said in Matthew, whenever they speak evil against you, so did they, the false prophets, or the prophets of God, the men of God, women of God that was before us. When they speak bad things, there's two sides of this story, but you don't want to give people bullets to shoot at you. I'm not going to give you bullets for your gun to shoot at me. Don't allow your family to have hurt and pain because you refuse to make it right. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I've preached what I believe you've given me to preach today. I know you care for this congregation, everyone in this sanctuary today, and every person watching by Facebook. Lord, there's a beast out there that wants to consume our lives. We may not fall into alcoholism. We may not go to the bars and do all those type of things. But Lord, we can get hurt deep down in our heart. It even almost causes us not to even want to come back to the house of God. Forgive us, Holy Ghost. Convict our hearts. Lord Jesus, cleanse us this morning in your precious blood. Before I give this general altar call, is there anyone in this house this morning? I'm going to give you an opportunity to come to God. This may be your last chance. You may have more opportunities. You may not. Spirit of God will not always strive with man. The book of Genesis said, if you're here, you're lost, you're a sinner, God wants to save you. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand up. I want to pray with you before this service is over. Anyone in this house, you're lost, you're away from God. Praise the Lord. No one away from God in this house. Hear me. We need help. We need help from God. Are you pulling away from somebody because you're bothered with them? There it is, right there. Are you pulling away from your brother or sister because you're bothered with them? The Bible says if you have aught with your brother, and you go to that altar and you start praying and you recognize you have aught with your brother, you leave your gift right there. You come make it right with your brother. or your prayers are not going to be answered. I see too many people, and I know, I'm going to close with this. The Bible in Proverbs says, rebuke not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. There are people out there that are in so much pain. They're going through their bitter state, but they won't receive anything from anybody because they also struggle with pride. It's a damaging thing. We need to humble ourselves. Can we come? I want you to come and find a place to kneel at these altars. Let the Lord search your heart.